Today FM's Dermot and Dave.
Now, since the huge success of Netflix's Formula One Drive to Survive, we seem to know a lot more about Formula One these days. I know I certainly do.
Oh, you do. Boring man.
Armchair expert. But we kind of don't know. A lot of us have tried go-karting, and then we see Formula One on telly. But what about all the stages in between? Not a lot of people know about Formula 4. Well, 15-year-old Alex Dunn from Clonbillough in County Offaly is starting to impress on the F4 stage, and he's on the line now to chat to us about it. How are you, Alex?
Hi, how are you, Dermot?
Good, man. Delighted to talk to you.
You too. I'm happy to be here.
So explain Formula 4 to us. People would know Formula 1 because they've seen it on the telly. They've watched the recent documentary on Netflix. A lot of people have. But what's Formula 4?
Basically, Formula 4 is the first stepping stone to Formula 1 for the single-seater drivers who are trying to achieve their goals of making it to Formula 1. Most of the young drivers from the ages of 15 to normally around 17, 18 is where they'll start their single-seater career.
Mm. And is it Formula 4, Formula 3, Formula 2, Formula 1, or is it Formula 4, Formula 1?
No, it goes from Formula 4, Formula 3, Formula 2, and then Formula 1.
Right, and do people get picked up, you know, is it that exact trajectory every time that you have to kind of go through the ranks, or do you get, some people just get plucked from Formula 4 and thrust into Formula 1?
No, normally you can't go straight from Formula 4 to Formula 1 because of the age restrictions.
Right.
Normally it's, you do Formula 4, and then the aim is to do as well as you can in Formula 4, and then you normally get picked up at the end of Formula 4, start of Formula 3 kind of thing.
Gotcha.
So did you start, like many drivers, on go-karts?
Yes, I started in karts when I was 9. I actually started from my dad because he raced in Formula Ford 1600 for a long time. And I always, when I was younger, I always went to the race weekends with him and was always there. And I always loved being around racing. And one of his friends there had a kid who was racing, and I saw go-karts and I said, can I try it? And he said, yeah. And he brought me down to my local kart track at Boy and Neath, and I've loved it ever since.
And were you instantly good, or were you just the same as every other 9-year-old when they started racing in go-karts and just, you know, crashing into walls and whatever else?
My first race was a bit hectic because it was in the rain, so that was a bit of a new experience. But then I actually I won my second race.
Okay, so you were good pretty much straight away. That's brilliant.
And yeah. Tell us about the cars that you sit in Formula 4. What kind of speeds do you hit and just how powerful are they?
At the end of the last straight in Spa, just before the chicane, we hit 250 kilometres an hour.
Wow.
So 250 kilometres an hour. So people might think that, you know, well, sure, it's a step above a go-kart, but these are serious speeds. These are seriously potentially dangerous speeds as well.
Yeah, they're quite a big step up from karts if you're not used to something like that.
And obviously with Formula One, and one of the things that certainly Dermot, who's obsessed with that Netflix show, has talked about is the amount of safety that's kind of built into the cars and these halos and all that kind of stuff. Is the same level of safety, you know, present in Formula 4 when the budgets presumably are considerably lower than Formula 1?
Yeah, I think the halo has definitely been a good addition to single-seaters safety-wise, and actually at the end of this year, start of next year, they will be adding the halos to Formula 4 as well.
You know the way in football, Alex, you know, if someone shows potential at an early age, they might get picked up by a big club and kind of brought through their academy. And same at rugby as well. Is there a potential for maybe someone like, you know, Toto at Mercedes to see your talent at it from an early age and kind of bring you into a type of an academy within Formula 1?
Yeah, I think there's actually a lot of the karting drivers I race against. I race against some of the people were in a part of the Red Bull Academy, and also some of them were part of Mercedes as well.
Mm. So that presumably would be the dream if that happened, to get picked up and kind of sort of managed through the early stages of your burgeoning career.
Yeah, I think if you can manage to get picked up by one of those academies, it'll make your life a whole lot easier. But I've actually been recently picked up by a company called KCMG, and I'm one of their first and youngest drivers to be a part of their driver development project.
Congratulations.
Great news.
And who are they?
Thank you. They're a Japanese company, And they mainly do endurance and GT racing, but they also do a little bit of single-seater racing, which I am now a part of. And they're trying to help me to achieve my goals of being in Formula One.
Well, right. They're right to pick you because you're the first Irish driver to finish on the podium of an FIA European single-seater championship race since 2008. You did that in the opening round of the Spanish Formula 4 championship in Belgium.
Well, I didn't even know that.
Well, there you go. So first one in the guts of 15 years. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, I think it was definitely a very strong debut. I think I was obviously, even though it was only my debut, I would have liked to have a few better results and possibly the win in race one, but I was still pretty happy with what I achieved.
Well, yeah, as I said, the last time an Irish racer did that, you probably weren't even born, so it's very impressive. And you're racing this weekend as well, aren't you, in Spain?
Yeah, it's actually, we'll be doing a 2-day official test for the second round of the championship, which is Navarra in Spain.
Mm. Well, best of luck with that.
Talk to us about the car itself and just what you experience on the track. You know, in terms of Formula One, people might be familiar with the steering wheel of a Formula One car that has loads of buttons on it. You have constant contact in your helmet back to the pits. And as you go around, you experience really formidable G-forces, incredible strain on your neck in particular. What does it look like when you sit into the cockpit, and what do you experience when you drive?
Well, there isn't a whole lot of buttons in Formula 4, because I think the main reason is the drivers are less experienced since their first season in cars with that car. So, and you're not allowed, there's a lot of stuff in F4 which is restricted to make it a lot more competitive. And so there isn't a whole lot to change on that side on the steering wheel for the drivers. Mm.
So is it the case then that in order to try and, as you said, make it less competitive, more competitive and less, you know, advantageous, that if you're just the son of a billionaire, you rock up with a car that's 50 times faster than everyone else's and go, I win?
Yeah, I think money, the financial side of motorsport is definitely a big thing. If you have a lot of money, even not necessarily be having a better car, you can do a lot more mileage, do a lot more traveling, which makes you a better driver in yourself. But I think if you're good enough, it doesn't really matter. Mm.
Do your parents need to kind of fund your travel and your all that kind of stuff that goes around with the Formula 4 stuff?
Well, up until the last, say, 2 years of my racing career, my parents have been the one funding everything. But we've actually, quite recently, we've been working very hard to get some sponsors on board. So we have quite a good few sponsors now who are making our lives a lot easier.
Great.
And what's the hardest thing to get used to, or maybe something about managing the car on the track and on corners that, you know, Joe Soaps like us wouldn't understand? When you sat into the F4 car for the first time, what were the real challenges facing you to keep it on the track?
The main thing is when you have to get used to everything, get used to using gears, making sure you're switched on, looking at all the temperatures. There's a brake bias as well, which can be a main factor, especially at the end of the race when you start to have a really big tire wear. You can use the brake bias to your advantage. So there's a lot more.
Will you explain what a brake bias is? Sorry, explain what a brake bias is, Alex.
So brake bias basically changes how much front and rear brake you have. So for example, if you're having really big tire wear towards the end of the race, and if you'll go into a corner and you'll hit the brakes and you'll feel the rear of the brakes, the rear car lock. So you'd put more brake bias towards the front, which will put more brakes on the front, which will make it easier to brake.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're trying to work the subtleties of the engineering now. It's something that you didn't have to do before, but you're starting to get to know all the intricacies of controlling one of these cars and managing it when it's traveling at such high speeds.
Yeah, they're small things to change, but if you do them properly, they can give you a pretty big advantage.
And we talked about it a little bit before, but is the dream to get to be a Formula One racer?
Well, mainly Formula One, but if that's not possible for whatever reason, I'd still like a professional career in motorsport.
Mm. Yeah, and what do you think you might do if you weren't able to be one of the, obviously the number of Formula One drivers is small.
Well, it's only 20 on the entire planet. So compared to other sports, that's what makes it such an achievement to get in there, because it's literally only 20 seats and that's it.
Well, to be honest, I think the day I stop believing I can make it to Formula One is probably the day I'll stop racing.
That's a fair comment, yeah. Alex. Well, fair comment.
20 people make it, so you might as well be one of them. That's the way I always look at these things.
Alex Dunn, it's a pleasure talking to you. Best of luck in Spain at the weekend, and we'll be watching your progress with interest.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Cheers, Alex.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Dermot and Dave. Listen live, on air, from 9 a.m. weekdays on Today FM.